Come on, baby, you the man. Get a hold of one and give it a ride to the stands. 'Cause the third base coach is giving them signs, waving them in with the game on the line, and everybody's looking around at the third base coach.
That song by Kerry Cashman, third base coach. And now he's playing that in honor of Ryan Sandberg, former manager of the Lehigh Valley Iron Pigs, who is now the third base coach for the Philadelphia Phillies. Good evening, everyone, and welcome to WDIY's Lehigh Valley Discourse. I'm Steve Aronson, and our guests tonight are Lehigh Valley Iron Pigs media relations manager and broadcaster John Schaefer and manager of marketing and promotions Morris Morioka. 2012 was a bittersweet season for the Iron Pigs, so as we get closer to opening day a week from now, we'll take a brief look back at last season, take a look ahead to 2013, and maybe chat about the offseason as well. Lots going on for the Iron Pigs last year and during the offseason and yet to come. We're also going to talk about some aspects of the organization that you listeners might not be familiar with, including Iron Pigs charities and all of the community events. I also want to welcome John Pierce, who is the regular host of this program once a month, and he is letting me sit in his chair tonight. Hello, John.
Steve, you're filling that chair very well. In fact, you take up about half the space on that chair that I do. So congratulations, brother.
Thank you very much. And hello, John and Morris. Welcome to Lehigh Valley Discourse.
Thank you very much. Good to be here.
Thank you.
Now, what we're going to do first, we talked about 2012. We're going to play some highlights from 2012 and maybe get you to comment on them. A lot of things happened. There were some heroic wins for the Iron Pigs. There was a point during the season where the pitching dominated. We're also going to be talking about two of the Philadelphia Phillies that came to visit us during the season last year. And we're going to listen to some of the highlights regarding those events and then have you comment.
Tied at three in the 11th. Runners at first and second, one out. Egbert delivers 1-1. Pitch swung on and grounded for a base hit to right field. Martin is up with it. They're waving Kratz. Here comes the throw to the plate, and it is late. And the Iron Pigs win it in 11 innings. A walk-off winner for Pitsenik, played in Kratz from second. And in 11 innings, Lehigh Valley has their first walk-off win of the year.
4-0, top of the ninth inning, two outs, and here's the 2-2 by Schwimmer, swung on, drilled center field, racing in Thompson, he slides, he makes the grab. How fitting that a guy with three hits in the game makes a star-worthy play. Ball game over, Pigs fly, Pigs fly, Pigs fly to a 4-0 shutout.
And now Kratz takes the pitch up and in, and Redmond's gone. You have to be, hit him. He was just warned, and now Redmond's been tossed. You could have expected it. And now Brown is out of the dugout, and the benches are nearly clearing. Now the umpires are sending both dugouts back, but the benches have partially cleared. It's kind of like West Side Story without the snapping at this point. Vasquez delivers. Here's the 1-2 pitch, and this is swung on and driven in the air to right field and deep. Carson turning, looking up, and it is gone. Chase Utley delivers in his first game as an Iron Pig. And it's 8-1.
Hudson is at first with one out. 3-1 on Howard. Main deals. And the pitch swung on, lift in the air out to deep left center field. Curtis racing back, looking up, and it is gone. Ryan Howard delivers his first as an Iron Pig, and it's now 2-1 Lehigh Valley.
There you go.
Steve, are we listening live to the Piggies playing already in March?
That's what I thought.
Yeah, well, we could be, but in that case, this was some of the several highlights from last year, and it was kind of fitting when Matt described the shutout win there with Rich Thompson making the last play of that particular game. That's another big thing that happened last year. Longtime Iron Pig Rich Thompson was traded after five seasons with the team, and wanted to talk to you about the impact of that as well. So if John or Morris would like to react to those highlights and how that kind of described the season last year.
Well, it brings back some memories, that's for sure, because, I mean, here we are in 2013. The season is all but upon us, but 2012 is a very good year, you know, on the field, at the gates. The Phillies' injuries, you don't like to see, but we benefited because we saw Ryan Howard in the Lehigh Valley. We saw Chase Utley. We saw Ryan Sandberg manage for a second year. We saw Rich Thompson get a chance to play in the major leagues, albeit with Tampa Bay. It was a very good year. It was a fun year. I think of the 5 years we've had, it was probably the most enjoyable one for me, even though we didn't go to the postseason. But it was a really good year.
When you have a star like Ryan Howard or Chase Utley come to Coca-Cola Park, does that mean an automatic sellout?
Well, Morris and I have seen some players rehab over the years. I don't know if it's an automatic sellout. Is someone like Ryan Howard or Chase Utley, it's pretty close probably. But the funny thing is that, you know, what happens with a rehabbing player could happen just as easily with maybe a popular bobblehead. You know, we might sell as many tickets for a bobblehead night as we would for a rehabbing player as well.
Bobbleheads are popular, aren't they, Morris?
And there's one I see right,
one of the best.
Right in front of Morris, it's a bobblehead.
All right, here, yeah. Honestly, bobbleheads are one of the best giveaways. We do have, I think, we are going to talk about this later, about several bobblehead are in the season.
Are you going to have a Morris bobblehead?
Not this year, but hopefully next year. I need to talk to Kurt.
That's a good idea.
You started out the Morris as an intern with the Iron Pigs?
Yes, I started with the Iron Pigs, I think, in 2009. As unpaid internship. I was doing, a lot of
things. Of everything.
Exactly.
The reason I asked that question, when John Pierce brought up a possible Morris bobblehead, there's a game that goes on during the season sometimes. Bop the intern, where the intern's heads come.
Walking intern? Yeah.
So, were you involved with that too?
Yeah, actually, I have created the walking intern. Oh. Then it became so popular. That's why in 2010, we host the All-Star game, Triple A All-Star game. Then that was one of the in-game promotion.
How many seasons have you been with the Piggies so far?
I'd say four seasons.
Four out of the five?
Right.
Mm-hmm. And John's been there right from the very beginning, along with Matt?
I have been, but and Morris, Morris, I feel as if, has been there since day one. I mean, he has been an important part, you know. He, regardless of what he says, he's been a very important part. He's very visible, because during games you see him cheering on fans and doing all types of entertainment and promotions. He's as visible, close to as visible as Lindsay, and Lindsay's one of the most visible people in the organization, so he's right up there with Lindsay.
Right. Morris, you're from Japan.
Yes, I do.
How did you make it all the way to the Lehigh Valley?
to be honest, I had no idea where state of Pennsylvania was.
Sure.
To be honest. But once I met Matt Provins in the winter meeting 2008, then he hired me as a free internship, free intern. Then, since then, I stuck in here.
All right.
Yeah.
We're glad to have you.
I love to be here. Yep. One of the best city, press in the States. Yeah.
Those were some highlights, John and Morris. But was there anything that particularly was left out, that you, anything that you individually remember that also kind of told the story of the 2012 season?
If on the field, I think what told the story of the season was Philadelphia's injuries, because their inability to stay healthy probably limited Lehigh Valley's overall effectiveness in terms of getting to the postseason. And that's baseball. You know, the Phillies last year had gotten banged up and nicked up, and they've gotten older. But entering this season, they're much healthier. Ryan Howard missed the first half of last year. He's healthy. Chase Utley missed the first half of last year. He's healthy. Hopefully the pitchers are healthy. Roy Halladay has had a bit of a bug in the spring, but you know, if he can start healthy, then it's a completely different team than the one that started last year, and that impacts us directly. We'll have a lot of prospects to begin 2013, and hopefully we can get off to a good start.
The rapid pace at which players were coming and going last year, I think I saw something like well over 100 transactions of players moving this way and that way and up and down. That takes a toll on the team and also on broadcasters. So how does the team, and how do you and Matt as broadcasters deal with something like that?
I think broadcasting games is really like preparing for school. You know, it's homework. It's And knowledge is power is the best cliche you can use in broadcasting. You can never know enough. You can never have enough information. They say that in a typical broadcast, you use 10% of what you prepare. So, and the typical preparation, if you really want to do it the way that it should be done for a baseball game, is probably 3 hours. For some of the other sports that are played once a week or twice a week or three times a week, somewhere in the neighborhood of maybe 5 to 15 hours, depending on the sport. But it's preparation. The more you prepare, the better you'll be, in that spot. Because baseball, unlike the other sports, is not timed. I mean, you could be sitting in front of a microphone for 2 hours a night or for 4 hours, and you never know the night that'll be that 15-inning game or that rain delay or that 25-minute half inning. So you have to be prepared.
And those five-hour night games, you wish they'd been played in the daytime, don't you?
We've seen there's been some long nights. It's part of baseball, right? It's not basketball. It's a different sport. Right.
Harry Callis said once that somebody asked him about preparing for games. He said, well, when the game starts, I've already done about 65% of what I need to do to pronounce.
Yeah, I think that's a fair point. I think those that are very good have put the work in to be very good. It's not just let's go and I'm great. It's like anything. You want to be good at the piano? Play the piano a lot.
Right.
Ryan Sandberg had so much to deal with all of these up and down and sideways transactions. Yet the team stayed in contention for the playoffs till the last weekend of the season. How did he do it?
I think that he commands a high level of respect from his players because of his credentials as a player. So when you've done everything you can as a player, you don't even need to have that conversation with those that play for you. When you're in the Hall of Fame, you automatically command respect just walking in a room. So the players knew that I'm coming to the park to work, I'm coming to the park to win, and I'm coming to the park hopefully to get to the major leagues. That was it. Nothing behind the scenes other than that. So when you have a winning attitude, you tend to win. And it sounds maybe simplified, but it's true. If you have a winning attitude, you tend to win. And despite having a roster that was really nicked up and torn apart by the end, we were in it till the very end last year.
Have you kept track, John, of the games when we do get some Phillies players who come to the Lehigh Valley to play? In the games in which they appear for the Pigs, are we winning more of those games or not necessarily?
Without looking it up, the answer simply is no. Because baseball, and Morris will talk about basketball later because he's got some experience having interned in the NBA, but basketball, the best player on the floor can touch the ball every single possession and can impact a game offensively and defensively every single possession. It's impossible in baseball. You can't bat every single inning. You can't play defense every single inning. It's just pure coincidence if the ball is hit to you, and it's pure coincidence if you bat in an inning. Mm-hmm. So I think on a 25-man roster, a rehabbing player only has so much of an impact.
Now, I have to ask you this question. My wife, Rosalie, couldn't be here tonight, but she, as you remember from last year, was a big Rich Thompson fan, as was I. When the news came that Rich Thompson was being traded, what was your own reaction personally? And also, how do you think that impacted the team?
I'll respond to it, but we'll get Morris's reaction to when that happened as well. I was surprised, but I was happy for him because we found out he was going to the major leagues.
That's the point. I mean, he is like outfielder, a center fielder, and then he's a fast guy. He can see the base. The when I saw his play on TV when he was playing Rays, I was so happy. Because that is his dream.
That's exactly right. I mean, he's a class act, always part of the community in the Lehigh Valley. He was volunteering his time when people didn't even know he was doing it. He would just end up at schools and hospitals. And I mean, literally one of those, you wouldn't know what he did unless someone showed you what he did around the community. But it showed, because people are really, he's as popular of an Iron Pig as probably we've ever had.
And in terms of how it affected the team and the play of the team for the rest of the season, he was traded in May.
Yeah. We did not play nearly as well without him. I mean, that speaks usually to someone's ability. You know, when you have someone that is an integral part of your team, you would expect when he's not there, you wouldn't play as well. And we really didn't. And that's not to say that he was the one reason why we had gotten off to a hot start, and he's the one reason why we didn't finish the way we started. But he's a part of it. He's one of those gamers. He's a Ryan Sandberg player, plays hard, always has a dirty uniform. Isn't scared
to
get dirty.
He does. Yeah,
that's who he is.
Diving catch, riding.
Every night.
He does it all, yeah. That's his play.
The player they got for him was Kyle Hudson.
Yeah.
Yeah, and he had a similar skill set. He just wasn't as skilled, but he had a similar skill set.
He kind of walked into a difficult position because Rich Thompson had become so familiar with the ballpark and the fans and the system, and Kyle Hudson was just kind of, new to the organization, shuttled right into the leadoff spot in the lineup. You know, didn't play poorly. He just wasn't the same player as Rich Thompson. He wasn't the identical player. People said, well, he's fast and he fields well. We're getting a Rich Thompson. No, we got Kyle Hudson. You know, Rich Thompson's a different player. So not a knock on Kyle Hudson. He was in the big leagues with Baltimore in 2011. So, you know, he had more big league time entering 2012 than Rich Thompson did. So Kyle Hudson came over. He played a lot of, innings, a lot of games for Ryan Sandberg, but to the fans, obviously, they wanted to see Rich Thompson, but they were happy. The fact that he got traded and went up to the major leagues, that's what people wanted to see. If he would have been in the minor leagues the whole year, they would have been upset, I think, but him getting a chance to play in the major leagues, that's what everyone hopes for.
Morris, have we had a Japanese player on the Iron Pigs in our 5 years so far?
Honestly, I don't think so, but when Phillies, they used to have Sō Taguchi.
That's right. The Phillies.
He played here when we had the exhibition game in 2008.
All right. Mm-hmm. So we've had a Japanese player step onto the field.
Right. Yeah. Right. Then like a couple Paul Toke at Red Sox, Daisuke Matsuzaka.
Yep. He rehabbed. Rehabbed here. Yeah.
Keigawa.
Or some like major leaguers.
Yeah.
They played here.
There have been a handful. Mm-hmm. I think there have been more than
five or six players. Yeah.
I want to go back to one highlight because if my memory serves me correctly, there's a bit of irony to it. The bench clearing brawl was against which team?
Right, it was against Gwinnett.
And?
And Gwinnett's manager is now Lehigh Valley's manager. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's baseball. You know, what happens between the lines? Baseball is, there's unwritten rules to the game. It figures itself out. It's kind of like the solar system. it just operates and happens. And every once in a while, you need to put yourself in a situation like that. It's pretty rare in the minors. Bench clearing situations are pretty rare in the minors. Much more common in the major leagues. You never want to see anyone get hurt. No one did on that day. But it's part of the game. It is. It's been a part of baseball for over 100 years.
We'll talk more about Dave Brundage a little later. And we're going to talk about the off season, and what John Schaefer and Morris Morikawa does during the. Did I pronounce your name?
Morioka.
Morioka.
Morris is okay. I love it. Yeah.
Morris. John Schaefer and Morris did during the off season. But first, we're going to take a break. I'm Steve Aronson. This is Lehigh Valley Discourse on WDIY. We're back on Lehigh Valley Discourse. The time is about 6:20. And again, I'm Steve Aronson in the studio with John Schaefer from the Lehigh Valley Iron Pigs, media relations manager and broadcaster, and manager of marketing and promotions, Morris Morioka, and also with regular Lehigh Valley Discourse host, John Pierce.
Steve.
Who has something to say.
Presumably by the calendar anyway, spring is here. And I have a quote that I'd like to read. It's from a book by Tom Stanton called The Road to Cooperstown. It says, "Optimism abounds in spring. The lawn emerges from its brown sleep. Trees bud. Robins nest. The forsythia bush ignites with yellow leaves. And our youth league coaches call us to practice. Mm. It's a glorious time to be a kid."
I'm more into it's spring, and a young man's fancy turns to thoughts of the Lehigh Valley Iron Pigs.
Steve's thoughts used to turn to other things, but now that he's older and wiser, it's the Piggies. Besides, he takes his wife, Rosalie, she takes him to these games.
We see Steve all the time during the season.
Passing by the broadcast booth and waving.
Upstairs.
I want to talk about the off season and John, I actually was surfing during the off season with the remote. I wrestled it away from Rosalie and got the remote and heard a familiar voice doing a football game for East Stroudsburg University. Right. And I listened. And I said, "Hey, that's John Schaefer." So you're quite busy during the off season doing sports as well. Is that right?
I like to stay busy because I think, as we kind of talked about earlier, I think the more you do it, the better you get at it, more comfortable it becomes. I've been doing it since I graduated Penn State in 2002. I've been working in minor league baseball full time since graduating school. So this is my 11th year in baseball. I spent 5 years in Virginia. This might be my sixth year up here. But I'm passionate about baseball, but I also enjoy, you know, college football and college basketball and just having that opportunity to do that. So, yeah, I try to do as much as I can. We're also in the office all off season too. So it's busy. It's busy, but it's fun. You know, I chose it because I knew I'd be keeping busy, and we've
John,
kept busy.
What was your favorite sport to play when you were younger?
I mean, probably baseball. I mean, I
would never see you playing baseball.
Yeah, but as you can tell, I don't scream athlete, I would say. But I knew when I was a kid. I mean, people say this, but I mean, when I was a kid, I already had made up my mind. I want to broadcast baseball games. I mean, I was a little kid, and I would listen. My first memories are, you know, listening to Harry Callis and Richie Ashburn when the Phillies are out west. My mom would make me go to sleep. I'd turn the radio on, and I would just listen to the Phillies. And that's me at 9 years old. That's me at 8 years old. That's me at 10 years old. So I always had to go to sleep by a certain time, and I would just throw the radio on.
How about Morris? Were you a baseball player at one point?
Honestly, no. But big fan of watching baseball. That's a huge, the biggest sport in Japan. My grandpa, my father, they love baseball. Watching baseball.
Has that developed in Japan to be the national sport, would you say, since the Second World War, or does it go way back?
I don't think it's before that, too. Before that. Before the World War II.
It was right? Before mm-hmm. that.
Before, I think so.
Wow. Do you have any special off-season highlights, John, that you would like to share? You did football at ESU. I noticed you also did some sports for St. Peter's and Seton Hall as well.
Yeah, you know, the best thing, I think what I enjoyed most about the offseason, me and Matt have been fortunate the last 2 years to go to spring training. We've both gotten chances to call parts of two games. We were there in late February, early March this year. We were there for 5 or 6 days. It was tremendous. I love doing the stuff with Seton Hall and St. Peter's. I was at the University of Louisville a few days before we were in spring training doing a Seton Hall Louisville game. So that's what's fun. I mean, what broadcasting can bring you kind of to some neat places around some unique people and unique teams. And we had a blast this offseason, though, down in Clearwater.
Morris.
Yes.
I noticed that you, not only you were a great baseball fan, mm-hmm. and John's going to maybe ask you some questions about that, but you're passion, particularly in the offseason, is basketball.
Yeah, I mean, my favorite sport is basketball, even playing and watching both. Yeah. Then, I'm sorry.
No, I was going to let
okay,
you talk.
Okay, then, are you going to, I don't know.
We want to talk about.
Well, you were an intern. John mentioned you were an intern for the Oklahoma City.
Oh, yes. I used to work with the Oklahoma City Thunder in 2010 and the 11th season. That was my dream time. I mean, I was doing internship, almost like game day intern, but still I was on the court because I was working as an entertainment associate, so I had to talk to players mm-hmm. as a job.
You did a lot of looking up, didn't you?
Yeah, right, every time. My neck is hurt.
when Morris got to Oklahoma City, especially in Japan, the Thunder weren't very well known, but what's happened since 2010 is they've become one of the prominent franchises in basketball, so they're very true. You know, he was there at the right time.
I mean, right, since I was there, the team became better.
Yeah.
So because of me.
well, they made the final. They made the finals last year. So did you
exactly,
have anything? Did you have anything to do with that?
Actually, no. But I actually went to Oklahoma City when they went to NBA Finals.
That's right.
They could get a chance to get into the arena. I think it's game one of NBA Finals. That was awesome for me, yeah.
Well, Morris, the Miami Heat streak is over.
Yes.
Are you happy about that?
I mean, I don't know if it's happy or not, but this they, they're doing great this year. So
yes, they
I'm
are.
Looking forward.
The great
to
part about the end of the streak was it happened in Chicago.
You're a Chicago fan?
Yes, I am.
That's why.
Now, I noticed your favorite player, or one of your favorite players, is Reggie Miller.
Reggie Miller, all time, yeah.
Indiana Pacers?
Indiana. Yes, since I was 10, maybe.
Okay, how did that happen?
I don't know. I mean, I watched the reason why we cannot watch, we couldn't watch NBA game because, like, TV is like, we don't have any kind of broadcasting. That's why I borrow a VHS video from my friend.
I see.
It is recorded. Indiana versus, I think, Orlando. The game was awesome. Reggie hit the winning three. That's why.
Well, I grew up as a New York Knicks fan.
Oh, okay. Oh, yeah. Well, I don't like
Reggie
it.
Had some. Reggie had some issues.
It is.
He and Spike Lee used to
exactly
go at one another at Madison Square Garden.
Right.
Steve, as you know, the Nets have a nice new digs over in Brooklyn.
Brooklyn, yeah.
And I just saw that last week, and it's a gorgeous place.
Yeah, I was up there in December for the first time. I was doing a college basketball game up there, and it was something else. That building is unbelievable. And you were up there.
I went there, too. Yep. It's like great. It's very new. Yeah, it's pretty good.
The other thing I wanted to ask you about, Morris, is a charity thing you did, dribbling a basketball.
Yes, actually, like I said, baseball is the biggest sport in Japan, but basketball is, I would say, less than soccer here, a small industry. So I tried to raise awareness of basketball. Then actually I dribbled 130 miles, 310 miles, and 230 miles. Like 6 days, 14 days, and 12 days.
Out on the roads?
Yeah.
Wow.
Sometimes like in the snow.
It is.
Yeah.
So cold.
How does the ball bounce in the snow?
Snow, honestly, there's no referee, so I did traveling. Like, traveling, I say?
Oh, yeah. He didn't dribble. He didn't dribble all the time. he would walk here and there.
Okay.
Reggie Miller never did that, though.
Yeah,
he always had a ton.
Yeah, and Morris has a dream involving dribbling in the U.S., right?
Yes. I not even dream. That's goal.
Goal. Yeah.
I'd like to dribble from L.A. to New York City or Springfield, Massachusetts. The basketball
The birthplace of basketball.
Across the continent.
Yeah. Next couple of years.
Now, something else very nice happened to the Iron Pigs during the offseason. They got the Freitas Award for excellence in minor league baseball.
Yeah, it's an honor, certainly, you know, because we take, and Morris can speak to this too, we take a lot of pride in promotions, mm-hmm. entertainment, creativity, uniqueness, fun, affordability, families. I mean, it's all wrap your arms around it. It's a big circle. You know, it's not... We plan a season as if the Iron Pigs will never win a game. That's not part of the business model. Hey, let's hope we win 100 games. What's part of the business model is let's put our fans in a position to have fun and have a unique experience every night. You know, whether it be fireworks or bobbleheads, or specials, right? I mean, it's about a unique and creative experience 72 different times, and that's kind of what we were rewarded with this offseason.
John, I'm a Chicago Cubs fan from my birth because I'm from that area, and somebody made a comment that I thought was right on target, say, how can you get the fans to keep on going out to Wrigley Field when the teams lose year after year after year? And the answer is Wrigley Field.
Yeah.
They love the ballpark. And I have sort of that feel about Coca-Cola Park in the Lehigh Valley.
Yeah, I think you bring up a really good point. I think a lot of people do have that feeling. I think baseball, a lot of people have an affinity towards something within the sport, right? Oh, I remember the first time I walked in. That type of experience. I was with my dad when. Yep. A lot of sentences that you don't hear that about NHL or NBA or as much in the U.S. You hear about that first time in a major league venue, at a minor league venue, and that sticks with people their entire lives. I mean, people remember where they were when the Cubs did this. They remember it vividly from when they were 6 or 7 years of age.
Right. Billy Crystal always talks about the first time he went to Yankee Stadium with his father,
yeah.
And he said it was the best day of his life and the worst day. It was the best day because of what it was. It was the worst day because he knew nothing could ever compare with that.
Life after that was going to be all downhill, right?
And the interesting thing is about that award is that this was the first year the Iron Pigs were eligible for it, and they got it.
Yeah, right. You have to be a minor league franchise for 5 years to be eligible to win, and we were fortunate enough to win. But as much as it is about the success of the organization and the front office and the ownership group and the higher level executives, it's a story of the Lehigh Valley. You know, it's a story of the people of the Lehigh Valley supporting something like minor league baseball in this area, and they've supported it like no fans in the country have supported any team in the last 5 years. I mean, that's a fact. No team has been supported as well the last 5 years as the Iron Pigs have been by the Lehigh Valley.
And you're talking AAA.
Yeah, I'm talking AAA, AA, Single A. Oh. Right. Major league teams, of course, draw, you know, in masses, but there's no minor league team that's had more people come to their park than the Iron Pigs have the last 5 years.
Bravo. Wow.
Before we get started with the 2013 John Pierce, I know you had some questions for Morris about Japanese baseball, which is very relevant now because of the completion just now of the World Baseball Classic.
Right, and Morris, tell us when the Japanese leagues begin their play.
It's going to be actually today in Japan.
All right.
Mm-hmm. Yes. So everybody's going to post it, Twitter, Facebook.
It's the 28th today here. Is that the 28th in Japan? Or are we
29th already.
It's already right the 29th mm-hmm. there. I've heard that the training that they do in Japan mm-hmm. is very rigorous, much more so than it is here.
I think I agree with you.
Yeah,
and they spend more time.
Right,
right.
And some U.S. players who have gone there to play, mm-hmm. they just get exhausted.
Right, right.
And they say by the time it's play ball, we're so tired we can hardly play the game. Now,
it's kind of style is different, I think. In general, even baseball or basketball, soccer, it doesn't matter. But we practice longer than, I think, United States.
Okay.
But I personally feel like United States, they focus on like 2 or 3 hours certain time. But we just practicing.
So just longer.
Yeah, longer
stretches of time.
Exactly. So I personally prefer the U.S. style, like focus on 2 hours, 3 hours.
And really focus.
Yeah. Right. right.
And I've also heard that if a pitcher brushes back a hitter or even hits him, that the pitcher bows to the hitter. Oh. Is that true?
Like, bow is technically, I don't know, it depends on prayer, but technically bow is our culture. I didn't do it here. I do not do it here.
I can't imagine Roger Clemens doing it.
But like, if it's in Japan, I always do it. Especially to elder people.
But I thought the idea was that the pitcher was saying, I didn't mean to hit you.
No. It's like kind of respect or like thank you. It's hard to explain. But
how about when the batter hits a home run, does he bow to the pitcher and say thank you very much?
I don't think so. That's kind of mean.
It's about, 6:35 here on Lehigh Valley Discourse. Again, Steve Aronson and John Pierce here with John Schaefer and Morris from the Lehigh Valley Iron Pigs. We're going to take one more break and then get back to talking about 2013, including how both John Schaefer and Morris get ready for the season and what we can look forward to in 2013 for the Lehigh Valley Iron Pigs. So stay tuned, and we'll be back right after this particular message.
For program support on WDIY, we thank Touchstone Theater on Bethlehem Southside in their 32nd season, presenting Ulysses Dreams, an exploration of origin and destiny, performed by the Touchstone Ensemble. This modern adaptation of the adventures of the hero Ulysses is performed in the form of a song cycle dealing with the characters of Ulysses and his relationship with various women in his life. April 13th to the 21st. For tickets or information, 610-867-1689 or touchstone.org.
Okay, we're back on Lehigh Valley Discourse, and John Pierce would like to start this segment with a quote.
From Tom Stanton again, The Road to Cooperstown. Those who have never felt the sweet pull of baseball's gravity struggle to understand its hold on us. Baseball's appeal isn't complicated or confusing. It's about the beauty of a game. It's about heroes and family and friends. It's about being part of something larger than yourself, about belonging,
It's about tradition, receiving it and passing it. And it's about holding on to a bit of your childhood. Tom Stanton.
Well, just listening to that, how the whole Iron Pigs experience has emerged in just 5 years. You told the story there, John Pearson, and I think that we're all part of that right now with the Lehigh Valley Iron Pigs.
Absolutely.
Okay, John Schaefer, and that's mm-hmm. I have to say that. I can't say John with without the H and John with the H, so I'm just going to say both your names.
Yeah, especially since it's hard to pronounce the H when it's in the name.
Matt Province sent me something from the vault about how you two, an example of how you two might work together. So let's listen to that.
Tied at three in the 11th. Runners at first and second, one out. Egbert delivers 1-1. Pitch swung on and grounded.
Jed, how many games do we do where this happens? The Pigs come out, get a bunch of hits early on, maybe get a run, maybe don't, maybe waste some opportunities, maybe don't, and then nothing.
Yep.
So many times I'm saying, it's like Groundhog Day. And not the good version of Groundhog Day, maybe the horror movie version.
It's a good movie. Do you like that movie?
I haven't seen it. I reference it.
You
like,
haven't
I reference
seen it?
It once a week on the broadcast.
This guy makes fun of me for not knowing movies. Bill Murray's good. Was Bill Murray in it?
Yeah, he was. I don't think that was his finest piece of acting, although.
You haven't even seen it. He doesn't think it's his finest piece of acting. He hasn't seen it.
Okay, John Schaefer, what was that all about?
What it really is that kind of tells you about the relationship that I've known Matt for as long as I've known really anyone outside of my family. He first hired me in baseball in Lynchburg, Virginia in 2002. So I've worked with Matt for parts of now, this will be parts of 9 years. So, I mean, we are as you know close of friends as you're probably going to have in a radio booth as really possible. You know, we spend more time off the air together than we do on the air, but I know where he's going every single time he goes somewhere. He knows where I'm going every single time I go somewhere. There's something to be said for having a really good friendship and relationship with someone you work with on the air. And I take it for granted because there's people that don't get along with people they work with on the air, which I can't even imagine. I cannot imagine that because Matt and I mean, it's like being in the room with, you know, a brother, you know, because it's just so we have that type of thing happens, you know, every night or two.
Yeah. Sometimes there are rumors that did you know that so-and-so doesn't get along very well mm-hmm. with the other one mm-hmm. and they're doing the fourth and fifth mm-hmm. innings together or something. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's it's great that you have that kind of rapport.
Yeah. No, I feel very fortunate because he's the one that hired me initially and I feel very fortunate because I know there's a lot of people that have not been as fortunate.
Now, he broadcasts every one of the Iron Pigs games through the season, but you do not. What determines that?
What determines that is basically he, as the primary media relations and full-time director of media relations, travels with the club. So his job responsibilities basically entail traveling with the club, calling every game home and away. I'll travel with him when possible, you know, Syracuse, New York, Pawtucket, Rhode Island, Rochester, New York. But when the team's on the road and I'm not with the club, you know, Monday through Friday I'm in the office getting things ready for the next time the club comes home, you know, media guides and programs and game notes and statistics, just different media work.
So you would go with Matt mostly to parks that are sort of close to here, closer to here.
Parks they can drive to, probably.
Right, right. Okay.
Apropos your relationship, there was a great story. I don't know if you saw it in the morning call today about Tim McCarver and Joe Buck.
Yep.
And the great relationship that they have had over the years. And Tim McCarver is retiring after this season.
Yeah, which I remember listening to Tim McCarver when I was really young, doing Mets games just on cable television in Philadelphia on like PIX 11 or
right.
13 or whatever it was. And I've been a fan. I know there's some people that say, I don't like listening to Tim McCarver. I think he kind of, for whatever reason, I've always been a fan because I remember when I was a little kid and I didn't know I didn't know the history of the game like I do now. I didn't know, you know, in between the white lines like I do now, that he's very extremely knowledgeable. I mean, he's been, you know, this is his whole life. Tim McCarver's life has been dedicated to baseball. So for him to walk away is a pretty big story.
My brother made a comment, and he's very much a student of baseball. He made the comment that for broadcasters and for analysts, you're much more likely to have catchers do that than pitchers.
Correct. Mm. Catcher, and there's a lot of catchers that become managers. Catching is there's a lot of responsibility in catching. You know, I mean, to catch a baseball game means you have to be in tune with every single circumstance, you know, relaying to the other eight fielders how many outs there are, circumstantial situations, who's batting. Catchers call games. I think a lot of people don't even realize that catchers call games. When a pitcher throws a no-hitter or a good game, a catcher called it. The pitcher did not call it.
Unless the pitcher shook him off?
Sure. But there are pitchers that have thrown no-hitters that didn't shake off one sign in a game.
Wow. Okay.
So that tells you about the importance of a catcher.
And with the Iron Pigs, a lot of times you see the catcher look over to the dugout
for the
call. Now, with the Piggies, what's likely to happen?
If you're looking over to the dugout, it's typically not for pitch. It's typically for circumstance. Man on first, should we throw over? First and second, should he step off? Typically, looking to the dugout is not for pitch, although there are absolutely circumstances where it is.
Uh-huh. Mm. Interesting.
So the season's starting next week officially, and you and Matt are getting ready.
It's April 4th.
April 4th is opening.
That's a week from today,
mm-hmm.
And it's going to be a 7:30 p.m. game?
7:05
p.m., mm-hmm. All right.
Gates open up 5.
Who's the opponent?
Syracuse
Chiefs.
The hated Syracuse Chiefs is the official answer, Morris.
Okay. So you're getting ready. How are you getting ready, and how did the two of you and Matt Province, split the duties for the broadcast?
Well, Morris can tell us about how we were getting ready at the ballpark, and I'll tell you how we did the broadcast.
That's right.
What do we have
ballpark
for opening?
Means like,
what do we have for opening day?
Entertainment? Oh, opening day. We have a lot. Because opening day is one of the biggest game day in the season.
By the way, do we know, is that game sold out already? It's not.
Not
so
yet.
So our listeners still have a chance to get a ticket to the opening day game?
Reads.
Yep, there are tickets still available for opening day.
Yeah, and
great.
Baseball.com or 6841 Pigs.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. Then actually, speaking of opening day, we have gates open at 5. We have happy hour, $2 beer, and $1 hot dog. Then also we have drumline. Debut on the night. Also, East Penn, who Uncle Ball Girls.
Yeah, the debut of Ball Girls at Coca-Cola Park.
Oh.
And we also have a giveaway.
Yeah, we do. We do have a giveaway, a Service Electric a fleece blanket.
For the first 3,000 adults, I believe 18 and older. Right. So mm-hmm. It's a good night. Opening night's a fun night.
And
you know,
a blanket's quite appropriate.
It is.
Exactly.
The thing with the opening night, I always, even growing up a Phillies fan, growing up just outside Philadelphia, you knew opening day or opening night was going to be cold, but it didn't even matter because baseball was back north. It's like, of course it's going to be cold. You don't want it to be 10 degrees, but you don't want it to be 80 degrees either because that's not, it's an evolution of the year. Spring becomes summer, becomes fall. So it's supposed to be 50 degrees, and mm-hmm. You know, it probably will be. You know?
What other promotions can the fans look forward to in 2013, Morris?
What are some of the big ones, Mo, for 2013 promotions. When you think about?
Giveaways, promotions.
Oh, giveaway. Yeah, people keep asking me about giveaways.
Yeah.
Like I said, we have a free blanket in opening night.
Mm-hmm.
Then April 9th, we have a Kevin Franzen bobblehead.
Oh, boy.
Then April 20th, we have a John Mabry pine grass. That's a pretty good one. It's pretty cool. Then May 4th, margarita glasses.
Okay, margarita glasses.
Margarita
okay.
glasses. And then May, we're going to do a Cinco de Mayo.
Cinco de
Mayo thing. Mm-hmm. Then May 6th, we have wine glasses as well.
Oh, boy.
Yeah, we have a lot of beer related. Yeah.
Just an example, just several good examples of what's coming during 2013. There's also some changes we want to talk to about Coca-Cola Park and Well, first I want to say there's something very interesting happening after the season at Coca-Cola Park.
Right. The national championship game, the AAA national championship game, will be at Coca-Cola Park, which is another honor, really, to have top two teams in AAA baseball coming for a one-game winner-take-all AAA championship game, winner of the International League, winner of the Pacific Coast League. So it could be Lehigh Valley. Could be any number of the teams in the two leagues. It's going to be a fun event, a fun night. Very similar, I think, to the 2010 AAA All-Star Game. We'll have a lot of entertainment. We'll have a lot of festivities surrounding it. And the game's nationally televised. So it brings exposure to the Lehigh Valley as well.
I should also add that even though next Thursday is officially opening night, there is an exhibition game 2 days before that. The Iron Pigs at Coca-Cola Park playing the Reading Fightin' Phils.
That's right.
Game, yes. So everybody, there are tickets, I'm sure, available for that game still.
There are. Those are $6, mm-hmm. and every ticket is a general admission ticket on Tuesday night, and every penny of every ticket sold goes to Iron Pigs Charities, which is our nonprofit arm for recreational opportunities for children in the Lehigh Valley. We've raised over $560,000since that's started. I mean, that's an unbelievable amount of money. People in the Lehigh Valley have been as supportive of Iron Pigs Charities as they have been of the Iron Pigs. So that'll be Tuesday night. That's a fun night. We've had that game either here or at First Energy Stadium the last six seasons.
Some other things are happening at Coca-Cola Park that we have about 12 minutes left that we need to talk about. There are new seating arrangements, the bacon strip in the hot corner.
Mm-hmm. What do you think about those, Mo?
What I think about it, it's especially the hot corner, it's a very close to the field.
Close to third base.
It goes to the third base, yes.
Yeah. It is. It's so we had a picnic area that's tiered, and then there was a grass berm in front of it with no seating. But they got rid of the grass berm, made two rows of seating even in front of the picnic area at the angle down the left field line, which, I mean, that angle is very close to third base. I don't have the exact number.
In foul territory.
In foul territory. I mean, it's just 40 or 50 feet off third base. So there's some line drives down there. I'd bring a glove. You might get a souvenir. The ball girls better be prepared down there as well.
Very close to me. Right. Yeah.
It's a unique angle. It's a great seat. Just having gone to that space and sitting in that area, you say, wow, I'm on the field. I mean, you're on the field.
It almost feels as if you're the third baseman, huh?
And yeah, and then the other seating area, that the bacon strip, is kind of the feel and the concept being, hey, people stand over the right field wall, kind of by the drink rails, just hanging out. Having a beverage with the friends and family. Now here's an opportunity to sit down there as well. And it's kind of like the monster seats at Fenway, where you're kind of perched up above the action in your seat, and you can stick your hand out too, and a ball hits your hand, it's a home run, and you're 17 feet in the air. So we've put seats beyond the right field wall. We've put seats just beyond third base, because people always want, I think, additional ways to catch a game, and we've just given them a couple of additional ways.
Well, John, it may be a home run, but what happens to your hand?
It gets hurt, probably.
And John Schaefer, you have organized something new at Coca-Cola Park regarding social media.
We just announced it today, Steve. It is called Pork Center. It is a social media command center, a physical space on the concourse at Coca-Cola Park with four flat-screen televisions. Will monitor all of our social media every night from there, Facebook and Twitter and Foursquare and Pinterest and Instagram and everything you could ever imagine. And fans will be able to interact with it either, you know, via the World Wide Web by communicating with it or by actually going into the physical space, because we'll have fans selected to kind of get a tour, if you will, of the space and see how we do social media.
Morris, I understand that there's a lot of interest among baseball fans around here and people who can sing to be chosen to sing the national anthem
right.
at some of these games. Now, do you have auditions for that?
Yeah, we did have an audition in February. Mm-hmm. That we got 120 people, like groups, came to the ballpark.
Wonderful.
It was every year we do it then.
Well, Steve has a favorite group that he likes. They're called the Four Bitchin' Babes. So could we get them to come and sing the national anthem? Ladies and gentlemen, please rise as
that description is only in the most positive sense, meaning cool, not
as the four cool babes sing our national anthem.
Okay. There's one other thing new happening, excuse me, happening in Coca-Cola Park this year. And if we have time, we're going to get to that. But I need to ask John and Morris about the what from the baseball perspective, what can we look forward to? We have a new manager. How is that going to change things, if at all? And what players can we look forward to this year?
We should have a very promising pitching staff. The return of starting pitchers like Tyler Cloyd, who was tremendous last year, Jonathan Pettibone, who was great when he came up from Double A late in the year, and other young prospects. I mean, our starting rotation could have three or four of the top 10 prospects in the Phillies organization, which is unprecedented for us. Our bullpen has been our strength since Ryan Sandberg got here in 2011. It'll still be our strength with Dave Brundage here as the manager. People like Jake Diekman and Justin DeFreitas headlining it. And then Darren Ruff will probably be in the outfield for the Iron Pigs. He hit 20 home runs in the month of August last year for Reading. That's a professional baseball record. No one's ever hit more than 20 home runs in a month. He did it last year in August. So I think there's a lot of reason for optimism, starting with pitching and, again, health. If the Phillies are healthy, I think the Iron Pigs will benefit. What do you think, Mo?
I mean, as a manager, I have talked to him after the winter banquet. Mm-hmm. He's a pretty nice guy.
Dave
loves sushi.
Uh-huh. All right,
that's
so
a very good point.
Your best buddies, now,
right? He told me that, hey, Morris, your job is to find the best sushi restaurant around the Lehigh Valley.
We have a couple. We have a couple on the south side of Bethlehem.
I know we do.
I'm not allowed to say the name because that would be advertising. I'm not allowed to do that. So. Mm-hmm.
Steve, I have a question from one of our listeners from Virginia. He lives in Stanton, Virginia. His name is Tom. And he asks this question of our guests. It's often said that the American League plays power ball while the National League plays small ball. Now we're going to the major leagues for this, right? That is to say the American League favors power pitching and power hitting over bunting, base stealing, and strategy, while the opposite is true or more true for the National League. Since the one difference between the two leagues' rules is the designated hitter, is this rule alone the basic reason for the two leagues' apparent approach to playing the game and winning?
The answer, in simplest forms, is probably yes. I think the rule may eventually change. Because of the Houston Astros moving from the National League to the American League, you'll have an interleague game every single night in the major leagues for the first time ever in 2013. So because of that, the Phillies' home opener, for example, is against Kansas City. An American League.
Every single night,
because you have 15 teams in the AL and 15 in the NL. So as opposed to having a team off every single night, you'll have interleague play on some level every single night, whether it be one series or more. Teams are now playing more interleague games, I believe 20 games in 2013. So it's different. I personally find it unique to the sport. I always kind of say, well, what if the Western Conference had a four-point shot? And you kind of just had a guy that, like a globetrotter, just sitting at the line
basketball,
waiting for the pass. And it was only in Western Conference home games. So maybe it doesn't make sense to be.
What's your guess as to the rule change?
I think the rule change would be, if it ever changes, and I think it will, I think it would be a DH in both leagues. Because if you ever got rid of the DH, you're taking away jobs. Major League Player Union is very strong. If you literally got rid of the designated hitter, there's 15 DHs in the American League. That's their full-time job.
They don't
if you
play
got
in the
rid
field.
Of it. Right, they don't play in the field. If you got rid of it, you'd be taking those spots out of the American League. So I think, as opposed to that happening, I could see there being DHs in all 30 clubs.
Interesting.
Do you see the approach to the game changing at all with Dave Brundage as the manager?
No, I personally don't. I think he comes from the same model, which is a little bit of small ball. You know, let's use speed if you have it. Get someone on, get him over, get him in type attitude. I don't think the Iron Pigs will predicate their style on, you know, let's wait for the three-run home run, you know, Earl Weaver baseball, so to speak. And in fact, Coca-Cola Park has been one of the most pitcher-friendly parks in minor league baseball since it opened in 2008. Not many people necessarily recognize it, but I think in AAA, somewhere around the second or third least amount of runs are scored at Coca-Cola Park. In the 30 clubs in AAA, Coca-Cola Park sees about the third fewest, somewhere in that range. So it's a good pitcher's yard. You see offense. It's not to say, it's not 1-0 every night, but it's more typical to see 4-3 than 14-13. You're going to see much more in that.
Hooray.
Yeah.
That's what I like in baseball.
All right, well, we have about 4 minutes left, and I guess now's the time to talk about the last unique thing that's happening at Coca-Cola Park this year. And I'm only doing this because, first of all, John Pierce broke the story on WDIY yesterday. And it's been on CNN. It's been on the MLB Network. So who would like to explain the new feature at Coca-Cola Park this year?
It has to do with men's rooms.
It's a men's room, yes.
You leaked the story, John? Here's the bottom line. Coca-Cola Park is the first sports venue in the world that has what they call a urinal gaming system. So while at a urinal, you can play games. What it also is allowing is, in a unique partnership, really it's going to raise men's health awareness. Because the way that some of the women's health issues have come to the forefront over the years, for example, screening for breast cancer, screening for prostate cancer is nowhere near the same level of interest awareness.
Right.
So that's going to change at Coca-Cola Park. You're going to see a lot of messages for different men's health initiatives, including prostate, getting checked for prostate cancer. So it's something that's fun and quirky and unique, but it's going to really, I think, get the right message out. You know, regardless of what you think about going to the bathroom and playing a game, regardless of that, you still need to take care of your body. And that's kind of one of the main points of
General Manager Kurt Landis came up with this, right? He found it somewhere.
He did. Years ago, he and another member of our staff, Matt Zittick, he's no longer with the team, had a vision years ago of having games as a part of a urinal. I'm talking 2010, but there was no supplier in the world that could bring it to the U.S. at the time. So they kind of waited, had conversations with this company in the U.K. It was they finally were able to bring it to the U.S., and here we are.
Okay.
That's fun stuff.
I want to thank John Schaefer and Morris Morioka for joining us this evening on the Lehigh Valley Discourse. I want to ask both of them, is there anything that we missed that you would like to impart to our listeners and to Iron Pigs fans everywhere before we sign off?
I would just say we look forward to seeing you at the ballpark, 72 home games. It's there's nothing like it. I think a lot of people are ready for the summer, and nothing kind of screams summer as much as Iron Pigs baseball.
Go Iron Pigs.
Exactly.
And I want to thank John Pierce, of course, for sharing his seat with me tonight.
Thank you, Steve. Always a pleasure.
We're going to end the program with some music, paying homage to people like John Schaefer and Matt Provence, the voices of the Iron Pigs. It's called I Saw It on the Radio. And thanks for listening.
Play by play on the radio. Play by play.
Deep to left center, back for Gianfrido. Back. He makes a one-handed catch against the...